Ding. Okay, and then we're going to, let's see. Okay.
Are we on?
We're on. It's going. Hold on a second.
Good morning, great morning. Democrat Doug Moore wins the election for the United States Senate from Alabama. Democrat Doug Jones wins the Alabama Senate election, beating Roy Moore by just 20,000 votes yesterday in Alabama after Trump put everything he could into beating Doug Jones and electing the pedophile, the racist, the pro-slavery, the anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-human Roy Moore, a pox on American democracy. Oh, happy day. What a great morning this is. This is Stuart Acuff, your host on Resistance Radio every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Today, John Case and I are in a celebratory mood. I hope you are, because we scored a huge victory last night when Doug Jones, Democrat Doug Jones, beat right-wing, Nazi, fascist, racist public official Roy Moore in Alabama. This after Donald Trump did everything he could to help Roy Moore and Steve Bannon, the Grim Reaper of the radical right wing, spent time in Alabama, was sure, Steve Bannon was sure, that they were going to elect Roy Moore to the U.S. Senate. This is Stuart Acuff with John Case on Resistance Radio. We're very happy to have you with us today on this great celebration day for democracy in America. John Case, my great friend and leader, the founder, the CEO, COO, president of the board of EnlightenRadio.org, who, as usual, helps me on this radio program as co-host and as engineer for our show. John, how are you doing this morning?
I'm so pleased that Roy Moore has been banned from another mall. In this case.
John, that's a great joke. That deserves to be told again. Well, how are you doing this morning, John?
Well, on the Moose Turd Cafe this morning, Mike and I decided to not offer Moose Turd because we, as you know, Utah Phillips invented that confection to keep from ever having been asked to cook again, on the one hand, and two, to make sure that nothing worse ever happened the rest of the day after eating it.
Right.
And so we felt that we instructed Dr. Lecter to prepare a blueberry muffin instead of the usual sandwich. So we're doing all things equal, we're doing better. I have you looked at the stats on the votes in Alabama about how this turned out?
I've tried to get as much as I could this morning. Looks like two or three big factors. One was an overwhelming African-American turnout. I just got through looking at Steve Kornacki's map from MSNBC. Huge turnout in the Black Belt, which is the middle part of the state. It's very rich soil, was the home of Plantation Alabama across the middle part of the state. Looked at Huntsville up in the northern part of the state where NASA is. Looked at Birmingham, looked at Montgomery, and looked at Selma,
right
in the deep southern part of the state where so many fought so hard for the right to vote. And I'm thinking this morning about my friend, Reverend James Orange, who spent so much time in Selma. In fact, I went back to Selma over and over and over when I was president of the Atlanta Labor Council with Reverend Orange to celebrate or commemorate, not celebrate, but commemorate a Bloody Sunday on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. In Selma, they turned out. In Dallas County, Selma, they turned out. Looked like we got the African American vote up around what it was for Obama.
93%, something like that?
95% of African American voters who voted for Doug Jones. But in some ways, John, more importantly, the turnout was massive. The Jones campaign was hoping for 25% African American turnout. And Obama got 28%. And I think initial results are that the African-American turnout in Alabama was up around 28-30%.
Wow.
Huge turnout amongst Black voters in Alabama.
Now, when you say 28 or 30%, are you, are you including...
Of the electorate.
Of the electorate. Of the registered voters, not... because there's so many...
I'm sorry, 28% to 30% of the turnout was African American
voters. I see. Okay. All right. Because there's been so much.
Almost a third of the turnout was African American voters.
Wow. That's cool. I understand that 98% of African American women voted for Jones. 98%. That's on the CNN map.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But
the second huge factor. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. You're on a roll. You're doing great. Go for it.
The second factor was the suburbs. And so suburbs around Birmingham particularly, but also down in Mobile, voted heavily for Doug Jones. That both of those factors augur very well for 2018 and 2020, 2018 and 2020. If suburban voters continue to break against Donald Trump,
right,
then we're going to have a great year this year, coming up year 2018. And the third factor was diminished turnout amongst white rural voters, which is a very, very positive thing, extremely positive thing. People broke against the evangelical anti-Christian churches and stayed at home yesterday. It's a huge victory for the United States, for America, and for our values. Here was a guy, Roy Moore, running on a platform which was totally antithetical to American values. He actually said that the last time America was great was during slavery, was when families were held together. Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Said homosexuality should be made illegal, molested young girls, not only molested young girls, not only when he was in his 30s, molested a 14-year-old, we know that, not only when he was in his 30s, but when he had a position of serious power as the assistant district attorney. And so he used his age and he used his power to prey on little girls. This is a man who has no respect for the United States Constitution, who's been removed from the judicial bench twice for violating the United States Constitution. Quite frankly, for most of us, is a total fool. So it's a huge victory. We're so happy this morning, so happy that Donald Trump suffered a severe defeat. And I'm going to predict today that yesterday was a breaking point in the reign of Herr Führer Rump.
So that's a good one. I like that.
Yesterday, can I say it again, John?
Yeah, Herr Führer. Go do it, yeah.
Yesterday was a breaking point in the regime of Herr Führer Trump. Two things happened. One, he got his ass kicked in Alabama, which some people think was the strongest state for him. He won that state just a year ago by 28%. He threw all in behind Roy Moore.
Right.
And got beat. And the second thing is, he made an incredible misogynistic, harassing tweet against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York,
right?
Because she called on him to resign for his sexual harassment and molestation.
Well, she and 40 other congresspeople.
Go ahead, John.
She and 40 or some other congresspeople, women, right? They all went
right.
Together asking right. to resign. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's well.
Right. But she was the tip of the spear on it, and so yeah. Trump took everything out that he could. Oh, we let off the program with Respect, sung by Aretha Franklin, recorded right outside of Huntsville, Alabama, in Muscle Shoals at the Fame record studio, which was an offshoot of Stax Music in Memphis. I wanted John to play that song because that was a hit originally. That song was a hit by Otis Redding. And we want to honor Otis Redding today because Monday was the anniversary of his death in a plane crash after a gig in Cleveland, Ohio. It's funny. And Otis Redding did a great version of Respect. But when Isaac Hayes, who was, along with David Porter, were the two greatest songwriters at Stax, heard Aretha's version of Respect, Isaac Hayes was with, the story is that he was with Otis Redding, and Isaac Hayes turned to Otis Redding and said, "Man, that girl done took your song."
You know, we saw Aretha about 6 months ago, end of last summer at the Wolf Trap, okay? And
yeah.
She's 75 years old, you know, and she just killed that song, Respect. She closed with it. It was really, that was her encore. It was just unbelievable.
She's amazing.
Well, when
I'd
she came out in the
now.
When she came out in the beginning, it looked like she was a little. I think she's got some difficulty walking. Okay, a little bit. She came very slow, and you were worried a little bit that maybe, maybe she's maybe she's a little past it. But no, she was not past it at all. was wonderful.
Yeah, yes, yes. Her voice, her power just carries on and on and on. So we're celebrating today for this great victory yesterday in Alabama. I've been thinking about Reverend James Orange a lot these last 2 days. My friend Jimmy Hyde, who used to be the president of Automobile Workers Local 10 in Doraville, Georgia, he sent me a note yesterday and said if Reverend Orange was still alive, he would have spent the last month in Alabama. And I sent him a note back saying, yeah, Jimmy, you and me both would have been with him, too. But the people of Alabama stood up and taught the country a very, very, very important lesson, which is that real fundamental human values matter and cannot be casually thrown aside by the likes of demagogues like Roy Moore and Donald Trump. This has to be a particularly bitter defeat for Donald Trump. His main man, Steve Bannon, was in Alabama over and over and over. Bannon the other day was talking about how he's a real populist. He's from Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy. But this is a guy who worked for Goldman Sachs. He was educated at Harvard. He is part of the elite trying to run our lives and run us into the ground. I was really happy to see Doug Jones's response to the victory. He quoted Dr. King in his victory speech. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Ain't it the truth, John Case?
Well, I'm hoping that that's true, and I believe it. sometimes the path has to take you through fire.
No, the path is never straight and broad. The path to justice and freedom and righteousness is sometimes narrow and twisty and turning. But if we persevere, if we hold our heads up and march forward, if we have our eye on the prize, if we know what we were created to do, to fight for justice and freedom, we will win. And yesterday demonstrated that again. Now, I don't want to be Pollyannish. I don't want to say this is a sign of what's going to happen across the South. The South is still solid red Republican, and it's going to be for some time to come. But this is a sign for the country that there is a end. There is an end to what we will put up with from Donald Trump, which is what we in the resistance have been counting on since Trump was elected, that America will get its fill of authoritarianism, fascism, racism, misogyny, xenophobia, demagoguery, hate, and anger. And yesterday, the people in Alabama had their fill of Donald Trump and Roy Moore's politics of racism, misogyny, xenophobia, demagoguery, hate, and anger.
You think this is going to stem the resolve of the, let me just call them the fascist elements that have taken control of the Republican Party?
I think that I don't know. I do think that the elites in the Republican Party are probably shivering this morning. They were going to be shivering no matter what happened yesterday. They were either going to have to wear the badge of Roy Moore on their shirts and jackets from now on, or they were going to lose what they thought was a reliable Senate seat. They lost it. And, you know, McConnell was smart enough to know that this was a disaster in the making. Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader, he knew this was a disaster in the making, which is why he supported another Republican candidate in the primary, as did the president. So I think it's got to make the elite wake up. And I know they've got to be scared as hell about their awful tax bill, their awful transfer of wealth from the middle classes and the working classes to the wealthy. Because, you know, that bill now only has like 30% support in the country. And so they are about to jam through using almost illegal Senate maneuvers to pass this legislation with only 30% of the country supporting it. They could be, and I guess they're doing it for their donors, they could be betting the farm on an awful piece of legislation. And even if they get it passed, probably because they get it passed, they're going to lose a lot of votes because of it, I believe.
We'll
see how that comes up.
I saw a discussion on the Facebook this morning about the results, and none other than Angela Davis pointed out that 70-some percent of the white men and 63% of the white women still voted for Moore. But the other factor I wanted to get you to comment on was that it looks like there was 20,000 write-ins that I'm told were most likely Republicans like Shelby, for example, that couldn't stomach Moore. So what about that? Right. What does that say about, how do you look at that in terms of the Republican base?
Well, I think it means that fundamental politics didn't change in Alabama. Let's be clear about that. Again, we're not being Pollyannish. I think fundamental politics, fundamental point of view about politics did not change. What was rejected was the awful misogyny and sexual predation, sexual preying, molestation. I think particularly among college-educated white folks and African-American folks, I think what Roy Moore was quoted as saying about slavery being good, what Roy Moore was quoted about saying about the amendments to the United States Constitution, that everything except the original Bill of Rights, every amendment to the Constitution after the 10th Amendment should be scrapped. Well, folks, that includes the 13th Amendment, which outlawed slavery. It includes the 14th Amendment, right, which required fair treatment between, regardless of race and other status. And the 18th Amendment, which allowed women to vote. And so here was a guy running for the United States Senate on the platform of the grand old party, the Republican Party, who thought we should not have a constitutional amendment against slavery. We should not have a constitutional amendment guaranteeing fair and equal treatment. And we should not have a constitutional amendment for women's right to vote. So it was not a rejection of current Republican politics. It was a rejection against going further down that road. This is Alabama. You can't look at it without context. It's particularly powerful when you look at it in the context of the great victories Democrats had just a few weeks ago in New Jersey and Virginia, right, where Democrats won by 10%. Just a huge, huge victory for all of us in the resistance and for our country.
Well, I think you've summarized it pretty well there, pal. I think it's going to be it's a big question mark how it goes forward. The most important thing to me, I don't know, get your comment on this, is that if it's all possible, before in January, that the impeachment march mass actions,
right.
mass demonstrations,
yes,
hopefully in
yes,
the
yes.
millions. Because I don't think I asked you the question, but I'm doubtful about weakening the resolve of the ultra right. Because I don't think they have many alternatives besides destroying democracy to maintain the system that they got going.
They don't have many alternatives. You're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, if there's a fair election where nobody tells more than a couple of lies every other minute, I don't think the American people are going to vote for what's really behind this billionaire fascist package, which is, you know, them running everything and to hell with anybody having anything to say about it. Okay. I think we got to be, and they've obviously been prepared. Judge Roy Moore is an extreme version of it, but they're prepared to undo by any means necessary, in my opinion, in any and every democratic advance in this country. And we're all going to lose some skin in this, I believe. We got to deal with it in a different way. I don't even know what the future holds as far as, you know, if you could ever put together a coalition strong enough to take back the three sections of government and try to do something. We have such huge challenges there, structural. I mean, Democrats for the past 40 years have not been able to fix that structural problem. They tried, too. I mean, it's not like they didn't try.
Right.
I think Bill Clinton and Barack Obama wanted to do something about inequality. I believe they did.
Right.
But I'm looking into a glass darkly, but I'm going with the people. I thank you for your summary there. That's moving us forward, but we got to get the people in the street.
I think there are huge structural problems on both sides. I mean, the truth of the matter is the demographics of the country are changing, and the Republicans, instead of adjusting to changing demographics, which I think they tried to do under Bush the Second, certainly they made paid lip service to adjusting to changing demographics under Trump. They have doubled down on their heretofore successful prescription for winning, which basically is play hate against the other, play on anger against the other. I've said this before on this show. I've written about it a million times. The reason the Republican Party took over the South is they began a campaign based on a whisper. And that whisper is, and I've heard it a million times, the Democratic Party is the party of black people. And of course, Lyndon Johnson predicted that when he passed and signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. He said the Democrats have lost the South with these two pieces of legislation. And in fact, the Republican Party took up, some people call it the Goldwater strategy, some people call it the Nixon Southern strategy, playing the race card in the South. And, you know, it just is a reminder that the appeal of racism is so, so powerful still yet in America. We cannot dismiss that. Hey, John, let me read a poem about this.
Okay.
So, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, please bear with me as I read this poem I wrote yesterday. May we forever remember. May we forever remember that when the character of America was tested by those who still support slavery, and he who sought evil, selfish pleasure from children, and he who campaigned on hate against gay people, that Trump rode the evil, abetted the abomination of a man against us, forsook any and all calls to character to pursue a vision so vicious as taking health care away from people to pay for tax cuts. Got to remember this, folks. It's a victory today. We feel good. But the role of the President of the United States was very, very clear. He supported with all he could a terrible, terrible individual who defied the United States Constitution, does not believe in the United States Constitution, and hated huge, huge slices of the American people. Hey, John, can you find Oh Happy Day while we're talking here?
I can. Go ahead. It's good. Well, while you're talking, I'll get it, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're celebrating today, and we're happy today, and I had selected, yesterday, I'd selected three Otis Redding tunes for us to play today, and I love Otis Redding. Nobody loves Otis Redding more than I do, but his best songs are sad love songs, like Try a Little Tenderness, and I've Been Loving You Too Long, and these arms of mine, and man, I woke up this morning, I saw this news still laying in bed on my phone. And I said, I'm not in the mood today for sad love songs. So while we love Otis Redding, we're going to play a little Happy Day.
All right, here we go.
It was sure enough a happy day, my Lord. How, how a happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, a happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Lord washed. Oh, when he washed. Send away. Oh, a happy day. Oh, a happy day. Oh, a happy day.
There you go, Stuart.
Yes. Oh, happy day. Who did that version, John?
Aretha.
Oh, that was Aretha? Oh,
yeah.
Great. Another Aretha song.
Yeah, I looked for Otis. I didn't see a recording of Otis Redding doing it on YouTube for some reason. I don't know, but I'm sure he did one, but I didn't see it there.
You mean Oh Happy Day? Or
yeah, Aretha? Oh Happy Day. Oh Happy Day.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember who had the hit with it, but the original hit was neither Aretha nor
I can tell you that
Otis.
It was a
choir, I think.
Let's see. Oh Happy Day. Let's see. Hold on a second. I had it right here in front of me. It's a group. Edwin somebody. Hold on a second.
Yes.
Oh Happy Day. We got to, if I could type, we'd get through this easier, you know. the Edwin Hawkins Singers.
Yes.
Edwin
Hawkins Singers.
Right, okay.
So. Had the original great hit of Oh Happy Day, and that's what we're having with us today, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. This is Oh Happy Day in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, across West Virginia, across the United States and around the world, Resistance Radio on www.enlightenradio.org. Chairman, CEO, founder, and president of enlightened.org, John Case, with us this morning on the Rock of Appalachia, the Blues of the Blue Ridge, www.enlightenradio.org. How's our friend Mr. Bill doing, John?
He's doing better. He had a... I don't know how much he wants me to say on the air, but he had a health incident, a fairly serious one, and there's a spy on the property that's been looking after him, two of them actually, and they say that he has been obeying the doctor's orders. So we'll send that out to Dr. Mr. Bill. So
That's wonderful. Mr. Bill is one of John's and mine's favorite people in the whole world. I hope he's listening this morning.
He does. He's on. He sent me a note. You know, he sends me little messages. He sends me little messages, you know, various times. So he does listen, yes.
And does he send them by, you know, because this is always a problem you and I have, John. We have four methods of communicating with one another. And sometimes we get lost on which method we're on.
He does text.
What method does Mr. Bill communicate with you?
He texts. Yeah.
Text, okay.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, because John and I get messages from one another over the phone, text, email, and now Messenger on Facebook.
I usually do email, okay? I'm just conditioned that way. But, you know, I see you're a text and Facebook Messenger guy. And, you know, so, I mean, people have their own things, you know.
Yeah, well, I use different things for different reasons. And I try to remember to email you, John, but my phone does not have an automatic "you've got an email waiting" kind of thing on it, so I have to.
Really, you don't have
a notification,
huh? Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I've got to consciously go to.
You need to talk to one of your
my email thing to pick it up.
You should talk to one of your. Friends up there who's got a tech savvy, you know, just grab them by the arm like the Ancient Mariner there, and see if they can tell you how to set up the notifications so your phone gives you a notification on email. But then you won't like it probably because you'll be getting bing, bing, bing every other minute.
Bing, so. Right, all the time.
That's what's
happening. Hey, you know, John, thank you very much. You're a great friend and a leader, I've worshipped a lot in, not a lot, but a fair amount in Quaker meetings with you and learned a lot from that. Of course, I used to attend meeting when I was in college, and it's really influencing my spiritual quest. And so I wrote this poem over this past weekend, which has a decidedly Quaker bent.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Today, may I live in the light. May I remain grateful all this day. May I see the divine in all around me. May I love others as brothers and sisters. I pray my feet are sure on my journey. May I be moved by righteous desire for freedom and justice. May my heart bear love to others, my soul a well of compassion. May I know joy today on this way I've chosen. I pray on this day others feel the love so freely given to me.
That's
beautiful. Pretty good way to live.
That's beautiful, buddy. That's beautiful.
You know, the older I get, you know, on Sunday I turn 63, John.
Well, that's 30 years past Jesus, so you're...
Went to the doctor yesterday, and without any blood pressure medicine, I cannot believe how good my blood pressure was.
Now, how
122 over 70, I think 77.
So how do you?
My blood pressure hadn't been that good since I was in high school.
Well, how do you account for
that? Basketball.
How do you account for that?
Well, you know, I'm walking twice a day. I'm not eating rich foods. I don't eat out much, and when I do, it's pretty simple. And you know, I'm trying to live a good life.
All right.
And I'm, you know, now in my retirement from a career of organizing, I find time to relax every day, which I never could do for years and years, decades and decades, could never do.
Right.
So the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia is being very good to Stuart Acuff. I appreciate it so very much. All these friends I have here and all the wonderful work that's going on here. I just feel very, very blessed these days. And thank you, John, for being such a good friend.
Are we having lunch? Are you up for lunch? I got to go to a doctor's appointment in about 20 minutes, but
I'm up for lunch.
Okay,
after the vigil? Or
why don't I?
Are you going to come to the vigil?
If I make it. I mean, it depends on when I get out of the doctor's office, okay? But I'll come up whenever I get out. And we're talking about the Wayne Jones vigil, the 13th of the month.
You
know, Justice for Wayne Jones.
In Martinsburg, West Virginia, on the corner of King and Queen Streets.
Anyway, I'll...
monthly...
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, the monthly Wayne Jones vigil at noon today. And yes.
So,
let's get lunch.
Why don't I text you when I get out of the doctor's? Okay. No, so that's when I'll be on my way. Okay.
Okay.
All
that'll
right,
be great.
All right, man. Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, thank you for being with us on Resistance Radio. Thank you, John Case. We'll see you next week on Wednesday at 10 a.m.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless Alabama and God bless America. Bye-bye, y'all.
Okay, pal.